people. Very tough spot from the South Media Network is joining us from New Jersey, and that's one of the wonderful things about this technology. And we have callers from a variety of places, certainly in the U.S., if not worldwide, and listeners worldwide to the LNL podcast. This is a joint live teleconference and webcast with the South Media Network and the LNL Network, both serving the community of South Healers, myself, but also a greater community of those interested in business development and what's going on in the world right now. We've got so many broadcasts you can look at our archives at LNL.org, where you can see the many incredible teachers from Deepak Chopra to the grandfather William Fernanda, the high holder of the Algonquin Nation, sharing their wisdom and teachings, their views of the world today and what's going on, including ancient prophecies and so much more. And this evening we're doing a series of speaking with a variety of South healers. And we have been focusing actually on some very highly respected South healers, internationally respected individuals such as Don Campbell and Joshua Leeds. We will be joining Don and Joshua Levine, Redmond, Christine Stevens, and myself at the 5th annual Sound Healing Conference of the Sound Healing Network, the Science and Spirit of Sound, and the Institute this coming weekend, May 1st through 3rd, in Rhinebeck, New York. And we invite all of you to come and join with us with these incredible teachers, and those especially on the East Coast. This is a rare opportunity to join together with these very prestigious leaders in the field who have tremendous knowledge base to draw from, and we'll be getting extended programs several hours each for each of these exquisite teachers. So please join us this weekend, May 1st through 3rd, at Omega Institute, the 5th annual South Moon Conference of the South Moon Network. So we're going to do something a little bit unusual this evening. We've done this months before in the years we've been doing these teleconferences and broadcasts, and that's to host my own work and my own view of things about sound and healing and so forth. So I'm going to invite Mary Gonzalez from the Sound Healing Network to take over in just a moment. She's going to host this evening's conversation, speaking about sound healing and consciousness. And those listening by teleconference, we do invite you to bring forward your questions on working with sound professionally, especially even privately, how do you work with sound privately, but also specific questions on application and use of sound in therapeutic work. That's one of the areas that I like to focus on in my own work, and we'll speak about that in just a moment. But that's questions that we might want to help with those of you out there that usually send such questions to the network. We hope you're there listening and have your questions this evening. So, Mary, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you. long and winding road to be separated very easily here. Starting in for me personally, very unique ways. I was just really the standard all-American boy, more or less, Boy Scout, Eagle Scout, infantry, football player, and not necessarily any kind of standout or anything, just a typical all-American kid, really invested in the cultural norm of America. Growing up in conservative Texas, where I was not exposed to much outlandish thought or view of the time of the 60s and so forth, when there was so much cultural evolution occurring within America and the world, really, and I simply was not aware of it. I certainly saw the love ends and peace ends and whatnot on the television, but I didn't understand what they were. I wasn't given any constructive understanding in school or in my family or anything else. I just really didn't get it and wasn't exposed to the possibilities of things other than just what was a very conservative standard approach to life in the modern world. I went to school at the U.S. Naval Academy of all places in Annapolis, Maryland, and one morning literally had a voice speak out loud to me while I was privately in my room. Turned to see who was there. It was not a voice in my head. It was distinctly outside of myself. And had to listen to what this voice had to say. Nobody was there. There was nobody in body there. And I had a distinct realization that this was something authentic occurring. There was no terminology for inner guides or spirit guides or any of that. Really, my visceral reaction was God or somebody is speaking to me. And I thought it was a very authentic and positive experience. I took note. I did listen. I did give myself credit for that. And some people might have freaked out or turned it off or something else. And the message was basically, you know, this isn't really what we had in mind for you. There's something else out there waiting. And there wasn't explicit guidance like you need to do this and you need to do that. But just offering information that made it clear to me what my choices were in life and what my deeper, really authentic feelings were about the choices that I already made. So I changed that life. It took me a little while to really do that. It's not like things happened overnight, but over the next few years, fairly dramatic changes occurred in my life. And during that process, while there were a number of things happening, I was having spontaneous awakenings spiritually, seeing that there was this unified field of consciousness which coexisted among living things of all nature, whether that's the trees and stones or beings in other realms. And it began a very deep exploration to try to understand and ground my understanding in these very new experiences. And along the way, I began spontaneously tuning. You know, I wouldn't even know that word back then. I was just chanting simple vowel and consonant sounds that really made me feel good. I didn't know what they were about or anything else, but they were a tremendous form of expression for me. I had a friend give me a bamboo flute, which I'd never seen before. It was a fairly non-tuned instrument. It was randomly tuned. So I learned to play it. I loved it. And I had to invest a lot of trust in my own inner ear as to what was harmonious and what was not, because it was not a traditionally tuned, so it was very randomly tuned. But I happened to meet the young man that made that flute and had a very simple lesson of how he made them. And eventually began making flutes myself just because I enjoyed it so much. And as I began doing that, I met people from other cultures and from other backgrounds or just other American young folks who had a flute of this type or African drum of that type or tabla or sitar from India. And I started playing music with people playing in different cultural styles and learning from people who had studied traditional music from India or Africa or China or other places, and getting a fairly vast understanding that there was a lot more to music than I had been led to believe growing up in that all-American church choir and school plays and all of that type of stuff. That there are cultures that invest a relationship to the divine through the nature of music that they use. That they invest their own spiritual development through deep meditative some processing through musical expression and alignment of particular keys or modes of music and so forth. And it just opened a doorway to a deeper understanding and a deeper pursuit for further understanding that continues through this day. Along the way, I had a tremendous feeling of reverence for the earth, for the beauty of the earth and the wonder of the earth as a living part of creation. And I would occasionally meet or study with different native elders and teachers, whether it's just doing a sweat lodge over a weekend or attending a formal workshop of some time or spending days at an elder's home where he might have other guests teaching specific medicine teachings and things like that. And got a great deal of understanding about indigenous wisdom and so forth. Along the way, though, I also just had an everyday life, more or less. I was raising a couple of kids. I ended up doing that alone for much of their life. During their early years, I was pretty much just invested in family and making flutes for a living. But once my family changed, where I was taking care of them full time, my whole life changed, and I began devoting much more time to understanding of consciousness and so forth, and having more awakening experiences, in which it became evident that I needed to apply this deeper level of understanding to share in different ways with the world. And I began a meditation group and an individual practice working with sound. But I developed myself through intuitive guidance. But I also had some incredible teachers such as Ruth Vincent and Molly Scott and Betsy Bissarol and Terry Nash, people that many people don't know, but who guided me through the doorways of understanding both sound and internal dialogue in psychology, Buddhist thought and understanding, Brazilian shamanic understanding, Hermetic thought, the deep mystery schools of the Egyptian and Greek mystery schools that moved into the Western mysteries of the Theosophic Society and the St. Germain Fellowship and the Rosicrucian Society and so many different schools that evolved eventually in the West from hidden mysteries that had to be kept hidden because of what occurred the spiritual and religious and social circles of the West throughout the centuries. Studying with a variety of different teachers who helped me unmask and collate all of the information that I had been gathering just through life and life work and life studies. I'll leave it at that. That's kind of a long-winded explanation to your very simple question. Native American cultures around the world speak to the living nature, the consciousness of all things, and have ways of awakening vital relationship with those living things. As it turns out, we are vibrational beings, and it's my worldview that all of the cosmos is vibrational in nature also. It's also very much in alignment with indigenous and Muslim school teachings as well. This is the phrase coming out of Hinduism, not a problem, which means all the sound, all the awesome sound, all resonate as sound, the primordial sound of the world, the Om sound incorporates actually three sounds of Om that are represent the three goodness, the three aspects of creation that underlie everything and reside within everything and move everything and manifest all of the visible spectrum of creation. And when one aligns with different aspects of creation and goes into what really are vibratory fields, it helps in understanding that you go into those alignments. One can give a voice to those vibrational fields of consciousness of different aspects of creation. And it opens doorways into the inner mysteries that they contain. It's important to understand that we're not just physical beings, and I suspect that anyone listening to this program understands that. But we are very multidimensional in nature. There are different aspects of consciousness that compose who we are as living spiritual beings. There are different dimensions of being. Those are held within different frequencies of consciousness. You can think about it just as simply as your emotional body and think about the different emotions that you experience through the course of any hour or any day that might run from the gamut from joyous awakening to depressing moods once you get up to anxiety, you get ready for work, to joyous moods when you get to work because something happened there and really excited you, to depression because the boss is still angry at you. There's just a whole gamut of emotions that we might run through in a short period of time. And it's hard easy to understand that each one of those emotions holds a particular frequency. The consciousness is actually measurable through waveform of the heart, for instance, through work such as the Grant Institute, what they're doing out in California, showing the waveform of different emotional states. Our whole consciousness relates in similar ways to different states of frequency, and by aligning to those different frequencies and giving people a sense, it can help us align to that, it can help us resonate within that, and it can help us to enter different states of consciousness. If I wasn't feeling that well and I wanted to feel joy, then I just began thinking about joy and then using my thoughts to guide me into feeling what joy feels like and then giving a simple sound to that. That sound cascades through my body and informs me at a cellular level. It reminds me of what joy is and it helps me come into alignment with joy and so I can speak and be from a place of greater joy. Sound can certainly that distinctly. But understanding that there are different layers, different dimensions of consciousness, there are different vibratory fields where sentient beings reside, what the Tibetans would call the holy beings, and in the realms of, they may call them the pure snowlands, or the Sambhogaya, the realms of pure light and sound, where all of the ascended Buddhas, all of the awakened beings who have left their body, still reside around the field of consciousness of the earth itself and are available to work with human beings as teachers and guides. This is part of the power of chanting and mantra, for instance. If I wanted to call upon Mother Tora, the mother of compassion for Tibetan Buddhas, if I had a situation in my life in which I really could use more compassion for myself or for a friend or loved one or someone else in my life, I knew that compassion was the best choice for me to take at this branch in my life. And then I call upon her, Mother Tora, Om Tora, Kutari Tora, Soma, and begin chanting that mantra and focusing on one, the vibratory field of what I remember Mother Tora feels like, a state of profound compassion, calling upon her and aligning her energetically and inviting her in closer to me so I can really feel and embrace and embody that compassion. It can be a great benefit for me, and then I have a walking body of compassion myself. There also are many other holy beings and medicine allies that reside in other states of consciousness. And by aligning to those beings, very simple meditative practices, and giving a voice to those alignments, it can literally throw open doorways into other worlds of being, into those other dimensions of consciousness which are part of who we are as human beings, as holy beings, as spiritual beings, and help us create a relationship with those beings which reside in other places, and have a profound understanding about the nature of life and the nature of the cosmos and our relationship to it. Again, what a long-winded answer to a simple question.
Over for a drum so I make a noise here.
using the camera well. It's a wonderful way to do this. But it was really just coupling authentic feeling with one's voice. So you couple authentic feeling with one's voice, you create authentic parts. And you can't make a wrong note when you do that. You don't have to be a singer or trained in any way. It's just coupling authentic feeling with the voice, and it creates an extraordinary opportunity to express creatively and to engage in reverence with that around you, to come into true alignment with that. What I find, from my perspective, is that there are many living qualities to the earth. I've spoken about both the rocks and trees as living beings, but there are also, in those other dimensions of being, there are ancestral beings that reside in many parts of the earth, and often those are ancestral beings of the most more ancient indigenous cultures of wherever it is, whether it's ancient Russia or right here in Vermont. One thing fortunate about living in North America is that there's not a tremendous amount of time difference between when indigenous people live here in harmony and reverence for the earth in relationship to the earth and the ancestral beings. And today, granted, some parts of Europe, for instance, I go to where there has been suppression of indigenous cultures for 1,000 years, I find it more difficult to find relationship with the ancient ancestral beings. Here, I can go to any forest and just go into reverent state and make contact with that. When we find places where people dwell or worship, people hold ceremonies, people hold places sacred, there often are ancestral beings who I call the wisdom keepers, who have invested themselves as spiritual beings to stay and hold the integrity of these places. And when you work with those beings, you really alter the dynamics of the work that you're doing. But that's a little bit further down the road of this conversation, starting with just simple prayer, simple song, just saying what I'm feeling. I'm here in the earth. This is beautiful. Perhaps I don't know what to say, so I can just begin speaking, and I just give thanks. I give gratitude to the earth for the beauty I see around me. This feels like such a special place. I know it's just a forest. There's just these trees and stones here, and perhaps a few of flora on the earth. In many ways, you might say it's not that special, and yet it's very special, because every part of the earth is very special. And if we enter it in reverence, we find it is a reverent place. If we enter it with gratitude, we it opens doorways to relationship with living consciousness of things there. So I thank the trees for holding this space. I thank the earth for holding this space. I thank the stones. I'm grateful for the beauty that I see just in these simple stones cast perhaps by a glacier on this earth, perhaps by a people of the earth, whatever policy stones don't swell from the earth. I'm grateful they hold such beauty and add to the integrity and richness of my experience here amidst these woods and this small brook cascading down the stones. How beautiful are you? I'm just very grateful. And I wish to sing just a simple song of thanks to you. And I might do that through English. But it's always easier, I feel. I don't know again, just to begin feeling those states of gratitude and reverence and giving a voice to it. And I might sound just a simple awe sound. The awe sound connects so easily to the heart. Connects so easily, just toning that awe sound to start with this wonderful square of your voice. I want to go singing gratitude through the awe sound. Thank you. polished modern doors of the world. I literally found the only way to open my more subtle senses. To see her fuel into the other words, I might start seeing her noticing, feeling, perceiving things that I didn't notice before. Because the interstates are opening me to a more and more open level of my own being. And it's also aligning me to this state of reverence or gratitude to the world around me that I'm experiencing to make us be a simple song in the woods. thank the baby at this point for letting, for embracing you for these few moments today. I want the baby to come back again. And you come back and you remind them who you are and you sing again. And they begin responding in very powerful ways. And that's what's happened in our work. We've begun awakening such incredible relationships over large territories of New England. There's now this 80-mile wide corridor of energies that we have discovered through disclosure from the mountains and lakes. And so there are three mountains and three lakes that compose a sacred geometry known as the Star Tetrahedron. And literally, worldwide, it symbolizes the sacred union of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And when you go into union between those two fundamental forces of the universe, you enter into very powerful creative gateways. And we have found that the sacred geometry exists with three mountains and three lakes. And for years of going and creating these living relationships, they have responded and taught us about how to work with them in creating an incredible resonant field of living consciousness that can be seeded with our vital prayers and support to assist in the awakening of the earth at this time. And that's one of the things that our work has evolved into that is just really very profound and could easily take up several hours of conversation. Indeed, we're going to be engaging in that work for 6 days later in August, so people can contact us if they have interest in knowing more about that. That's not the intent of this broadcast this evening, speak specifically to that. Okay?
Thank you.
about the divine feminine energy is in the world, that this doorway to the cosmos opened to. And creating that grain of the divine feminine in a way that she could be the rise and really take hold culturally. Awakening already was occurring through the feminist movement and the reawakening of intuitive spiritual practices from around the world and so forth. But this was a very deep doorway that was available to humanity. And I had some friends who were participating in something about Jessup. California invited me to come and participate in that. And I did. I know about the harmonic convergence and probably knew just about as much as any average human being would have known on the planet at that time, probably more than the average human being. I believed in it as a powerful time. But what occurred was something very real, very visceral. And I was part of a body of 22 people on the right side of Mount Shasta who went through incredible awakening and alignment to the powers that doorway opened to. And for me, it just really solidified this new awakening of the divine feminine in human consciousness. And as I said, the whole feminist movement is related to that in many ways. It's about honoring and balancing the sacred nature of all life force. But understanding that in all principles of life, from the most microcosmic to the most macrocosmic, that there is a principle of electric and magnetic proportions that go into balance and union that bring everything into creation. And that is the divine masculine and feminine. And our culture has lost respect for an understanding of that over the last couple of thousand years. And this new awakening is occurring to bring us into better understanding of honoring and realizing that the feminine is an aspect of our consciousness, both individually, but collectively, that is very important. It needs to be understood, honored, and balanced with the masculine. The masculine principles that have been driving our culture over the last couple of thousand years have not been in balance themselves. It's important because they do not honor the divine feminine within them. But they're not balanced masculine energies, however you look at it. It's not the divine masculine either that we have been seeing. We've been seeing a very deep wounding of the male controlling the planet, and that because it is deeply wounded, that's why it speaks out in such wounding ways. It's been causing great devastation around the world, and you need to look at more heartfelt understanding, balancing the mental construct of our world with a heartfelt intuitive construct on it, honoring that aspect of ourselves within, and relying upon it in equal and balanced ways, not just a cognitive, rational, logic approach to the understanding of things. There's so much in the cosmos that defies logic and rational understanding. And it requires us to embrace the deeper intuitive mystery of life and allow it to unfold and guide us just as profoundly as we might depend upon the logic and rational aspect of the world. From my own perspective, this is also opening profound doorways to the mysteries held by conscious beings in those other realms that I've spoken about. The Tibetans call the Sabha Gaya, the pure lands of light and sound, where the holy beings, the awakened Buddhas, all reside and believe assist us and re-enter this cosmos to assist us at different times, especially when we call upon them in prayer and so forth. And there are many ascended beings, saints and teachers of many cultures, and living beings from other religious systems and spiritual systems of the world that many people are tapping into and re-honoring again as the great gods, just as we honor the Mother Earth. And that is another part of this awakening of the divine feminine, is really honoring the Mother Earth as well. And as part of what drives our work is understanding how deeply we really need to honor it. Even many of us who think we are honoring the Earth, many don't have a real living relationship going out and truly relating to the Earth as a living and sentient being, and I think it's very important. And one final point that is also this our abilities, our sacred temples. This is part of the divine feminine, that which is manifest on this planet. Just like the Mother Earth and all aspects of her hold the divine feminine manifestation of life, our bodies also are that underneath of honor and reverence. These holy temples that contain our spirit and our living vessel that allows us to interact and interplay here in this dimension of consciousness of this physical world. Understanding that it's just a sheathing that we will cast aside. But someday, someone said, as a sort of snake shows its skin in its time, this body is sacred dust, but it will be shed, and we need to focus upon that which is more true and eternal about ourselves, and not worry so much about the little consequences that we tend to spend our time in life focusing on that really are here today and gone tomorrow. But honoring this body as a holy temple during this time that we're here is another piece of that for me personally. Of symmetry which guides the principles of unfolding of everything within creation. And if anyone listening wants to know more about that or understand it better, just go to any good metaphysical store and ask for some books on sacred geometry, and you will find a wealth of information that I don't have time to speak to right now. But the reality is that life unfolds in divine proportions and resonates in those divine proportions. The wonderful recording coming out of Boston, Mexico by a gentleman whose name is escaping me, known as God's Great Course, speaks to some of what I want to say about this. And for those that aren't familiar with it, again, just going online and type in God's Great Course, you'll find it somewhere. You can call our offices if you don't find it. But what it is a gentleman who was making some Native American flute recordings and learned some sounds of nature to help back up his flutes. And along with third songs and books and so forth, he recorded crickets. And I was playing with those in his recording studio, and his instrument asked him what it would sound like if he speeded up or slowed down the recording of the crickets. And what happened was just very awesome for him. He slowed down the crickets to what he calls the speed of the human life cycle. I'm not really sure exactly what he means by that. Basically, it slowed down to about the speed of the human voice frequencies. And he has created a recording that of the crickets, both at normal chirping speed that you normally hear crickets at, and the slowed down to human cycle speed. And when you hear it slowed down, you can't imagine that what you're hearing is anything other than a choir of beings in a sacred temple or a choir of angels or someone singing praises to the divine. It's just an awe-inspiring recording of songs that can't be imagined as much as anything other than tremendous gratitude to creation. And I think of the sound of crickets. And yet they're actually sounding this incredible harmonious resonance out in the world. What I believe and experience when we go into the world is that all of the sounds and forms of nature are like that. If you have someone who is really compelled in the science of sacred geometry, go out into nature, he could show you the designs of trees and bark and leaves and stones and how everything has its beautiful proportion that unfolds in this very symmetrical way, even though it's not all exactly easy to see when you go out into a forest and everything looks randomly made. It's actually incredible geometries and symmetries that are occurring right before our eyes. And I believe that those forms, as well as the light emanations, as well as the sound emanations, that we are allowing to emanate through our own field are impacting upon us in ways that we don't normally think of unless we're following this line of reason that I'm bringing forward at the moment. So when you go out into nature, you end up entraining those resonant fields of nature, which are in harmonic proportions to all creation. And then you entrain to that, it just makes you feel good. So, you know, you're going out, it's just beautiful to you. And there goes my life again. It's just, you're having this wonderful, wonderful experience. And you may not be thinking about it in terms of everything I just said. But for me, everything I just said is occurring. There are these incredible emanations of light and sound and color and geometry occurring all around you when you go into nature. And that's one reason it's beneficial to go to places that have not been highly touched by humanity. Because we have a way of altering those sacred geometries in ways that are not so beneficial. But when you're in a natural place, a natural resonance, it is singing the songs of creation all around you in its many forms. And you, it's very easy to entrain to it when you intend to or not, just because of the beauty of it. That to me is the gist of what occurs. I'm sure that I could get into a more scientific explanation about our neurology.
Okay. I'm going to call it, right?
I can follow through with just the conversation I was just having with Melissa about designing proportions and how life unfolds in these sacred geometries and for my residents. Just as one example, science has gone into simple spaces that they now think were designed to the sacred geometries, to the divine proportions. This is a whole body of science, and this is understood what's going on in terms of this, that the ancients and book builders understood these proportions and built things to it. So when you walk into Shores Cathedral versus the church down the street, you walk in and your heart just opens and you go, ah, whereas it may not happen at the temple next door because it's not designed in the same proportion. So we experience it at a human level when we invoke it. And the ancient planners and architects did invoke that. And even many of the common buildings in America and other places were built to those sacred proportions up until the early 1900s when architects decided that they had a better way of doing things. But science has seen that if you go into a complex that is designed to the sacred proportions and measure the background sound that is emitted in that, there is a field sound that you can measure. It actually resonates in the Pramati proportions, and that's related to the Fibonacci series, those of you listening can understand that. And when you go into a place not designed to sacred proportions, it resonates in dissonance. You can measure the background sound. It resonates in dissonance. This is another key of what I'm speaking about. Everything we can do to align our one element around us and the aesthetics of divine proportions, of sacred geometries, of things that we hold as beautiful. And that includes our sound environment, things we listen to, music we listen to. We can just hold our own personal sense of aesthetics and beauty as a key and do the best we can to create an environment of beauty and aesthetics. It will help entrain us to that resonance of beauty and aesthetics. That will bring us into deeper appreciation of the world. The Art Math Institute, which I mentioned down in California, also has incredible studies about the coherence of emotions. And when you work with coherent emotions, which are emotions that are life-enhancing, such as joy or gratitude or love or peacefulness, versus anger, sadness, rage, joy, shame, or guilt, which would be incoherent emotions. Once it is experienced over an extended period of time, we feed our immune system and other wellness factors that they are measuring, holding coherent thoughts and feelings, builds wellness factors. So, just by holding a coherent feeling, say, or imagining what a coherent feeling might be, such as quiet joy or gratitude, and giving a voice to that, this is a very simple practice for people to bring into their life. This helps them at any time, driving down the street in traffic when they want to get angry. Just take a moment where you stop, close your eyes for 10 seconds while there's a background of traffic or a red light, and just remember gratitude or joyfulness or some other coherent feeling state. And just sound it with a simple out sound or sound of sound. And the more experience you are coming in and chanting, you can come up with many other sounds. The asana is a very easy one to work with. This is a very simple way that will help you just come into coherence in your life at times when you may not. Using sound as a method of doing that, just aligning with that feeling state and giving voice to it. It will resonate and cascade down through your cells. And it does make a difference at a cellular level. There are many studies that are beginning to come out, such as John Bowlby's work on tuning forks and Microsoft Sonic Control. That's released in beneficial ways just through listening to tuning forks at a cellular level. The work with Dr. Gainer has shown how simple sound practices and sound and imagery practices enhance the results of cancer treatment. People that work with sound and imagery have much higher chances, significantly higher chance of recovery, or lessening the symptoms, or greatening their quality of life, if not a complete function of the cancer and so forth. Many people are showing how simple sound practices help. And it really rejuvenates us. It's very simple toning. Certainly listening to the crystal balls or dream forms or just driving by itself can help. But when we give a voice to it, it resonates through our whole field, through our whole body, at a cellular level. and it really impacts us in a very powerful way. So I just want to make that offering and suggest to people to just try more and more, cooking better, in the shower, making the kids just call, walking the dog, just a simple time. Thanks very much. That really is my final thought. I'm going to just say it again. We really look forward to seeing those of you coming to Omega this weekend, and encourage those who haven't decided yet to make the choice. It's going to be a wonderful offering. And those who have come to our summer conferences in the past know that we tend to create very rich, intimate environments where we really come into cohesion one with the other. All of the participants and teachers and everybody. And we have such an excellent field of folks this weekend. Joshua will be talking about the new Sound and Music Alliance that we are partnering with in some ways, yet undiscovered. But the Sound Healing Network is a part of that and will be more of a part of it. It's taking the Sound Alliance that the network has always intended to be to a much grander level. And be able to join with Joshua, who is the executive director of that Sound and Music Alliance, to learn more about what's happening. We're not quite public yet, but this will be one of the very first public announcements about this alliance of professionals who really want to further the legitimacy and understanding of sound as a scientifically researched, as well as supporting the indigenous arts and other aspects of sound, the full spectrum, creating professional practices that can carry into college-based programs and other things like that. And we are working very diligently to create that, and that will be large announcement about that this weekend, as well as the awesome journey with Christine Stevens and Gavin and what she just putting those flow and wake you up and bring you into a very coherent state and good coherence, working with groups, coming together, rhythm of cold and training mud and all of that. She's very skilled at it. It speaks very directly from the heart about it. Brian Campbell and all of the, you know, the profound guides of this field, working from speaking back on like healing and waking the spirit of sound. And Lane Whitman, who we all know and honor as one of the premier women drummers, who has really brought the voice of women and drumming of the world back upon the table. And she'll be getting a live concert Saturday night. I also will be offering a practice and hinting with the practice of four parts on the drums. There will be some ceremony where these men have some really intentional work creating the dynamic. Thank you for joining us.